sounded as if I had the microphone too close to my face.
Why are you talking like that?
I think I'm going to talk like this forever.
Sweet. We need a southern drawl in our podcast. Is that what you're trying to do? I couldn't really tell.
I don't really know. I could be from some other planet where they have this weird accent that sounds sort of like a Texan, sort of like this other thing that comes from the States.
I'm pretty sure that's Alabama that you're channeling right now.
Alabama. We have crocodiles the size of school buses.
Now I think you're thinking New Orleans.
I'm just heading all over the place. Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I'm just going to leave that one alone. Okay, seriously, I'm supposed to be the one on drugs. What is wrong with you tonight?
I have a Diet Pepsi.
Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan.
I'm here. I have Diet Pepsi.
Excellent. I have Diet Coke.
Oh, wait. We're not being sponsored by Diet Pepsi or Diet Coke. We drink it under
Coke
our own
than
free
Pepsi,
will.
Though.
Wait. Do you have Coke or do you have Diet Coke?
Diet Coke.
No. Because this is how it works. You have Coke over Pepsi, and then you have Diet Pepsi over Diet Coke. Wait, do you have caffeinated free?
No.
Caffeine free? Okay, it's the regular stuff?
Yeah. I'm trying to counteract the effects of the muscle relaxants, remember? I need the caffeine so that I don't go all crazy.
Podcasts which so bad, you need drugs to enjoy them. Ding! If you couldn't tell by my ding, I was winking and putting up a thumbs up.
Oh, yeah, I totally couldn't tell that's what it was.
I mean, if we were ever to do a commercial, that's how it would work.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Off to an amazing start.
I feel pretty good about it.
I do, too.
Is there anything that you want to talk about in the world of Ryan before we get on to news?
No, I mean, the funny thing is that now that we're back to our regularly scheduled podcast recording weekly, you know, most of the stuff that's new and relevant to the podcast, you know, we talk about in what we're saying and stuff.
I see. Well then, shall we news it up?
Sure. So first up on the block, we have a Game Informer article that like literally just popped up on Twitter, and I was like, we need to talk about this. EA, everybody knows EA is big on marketing and promotion for their games with, you know, cross-promoting different platforms and stuff. So EA has announced two apps for Mass Effect 3. They don't specifically mention platforms, but I'm going to assume iOS and probably Android. Not really sure. One is called Infiltrator, which is a third-person shooter that will look similar to the graphic style of the Mass Effect games on console. Obviously it won't look exactly the same. Like, we're not talking, you know, think comparing Gears of War to Infinity Blade in terms of the Unreal Engine. Like, I think that's kind of what you get. You know, you get a low-res version of that. And it'll be a third-person action game involving rescuing prisoners and obtaining evidence against Cerberus. And will also increase your galactic readiness, which I'm not really sure, but I guess that has something to do with being ready for the galaxy.
That would be my guess, too. I mean, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
no. Reading into that a bit more, it seems that galactic readiness is your kind of like rating as to whether you're going to get the good ending in Mass Effect 3. So that's neat. Also, the second app is called Datapad, which is sort of just, I don't know, I'd say the best way to put it is a companion app. So you kind of have it, you know, with you as you're waiting for, you know what it sounds a lot like? It sounds like the Cerberus network that you had with Mass Effect 2, that little thing that when you started the game that popped up on the right side that had news feeds and whatnot.
Right.
It sounds exactly like that, but on your iPad or your iPhone or whatever, and you can kind of, says here, check on the Galactic War and receive messages from in-game characters. Ooh.
Which is so exciting. If I can have my Mass Effect people sending me text messages, that makes me happy.
Yeah, and I guess...
immerses you in the universe a little bit more.
Exactly. And it also gives you some... It gives you an in-game, like, literally an in-game bonus being, you know, Galactic Readiness plus. And also maybe some... I think they talk about, you know, unlocking some cool weapons in Mass Effect.
Now, are these apps you have to pay for?
I would assume...
Have they said yet?
They don't say...
Probably the game you would have to. The Infiltrator one, yeah.
Infiltrator will probably cost money. Datapad will probably be free. That's just a guess, though. This is fairly new. Like, this is, like, breaking news type shit. So, I'm excited. You know what? Anything that can help bridge the gap between now and Mass Effect 3 is appreciated. Because, you know,
did
when
they say, are we going to have this before we get Mass Effect 3?
Oh, yeah. I would assume it's going to launch around the demo next week.
Oh, yeah. Next week is Valentine's Day. Crap.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I've got a to-do list.
As do I, which is probably going to take up my entire weekend.
Yeah, I gotta go shopping.
Yeah. For Valentine's I wish Day it could just be that easy.
Yeah. Anyway. Unrelated, we could talk about that specific thing on our episode after Valentine's Day, because that
yes I think cool. We should
indeed, but I'm not going to mention any more because I don't want to give it away.
Okay, stop now.
That wasn't giving it away. I could bleep it out if you want.
You just bleep this whole conversation. It's okay. Yeah. He doesn't listen to this anyway. He's like two episodes. Well, he does, but he's like two episodes behind, so it'll probably be after Valentine's Day by the time he listens to this anyway, so.
I didn't mention anything specific, just, okay, now at least he knows that you're getting him something. He doesn't have to be curled into a fetal position worrying that he's not getting anything for Valentine's Day. See, I'm doing him a favor. I kick his ass in Hero Academy. Actually, no, I think he's winning, but anyways.
He's only winning because he never plays.
Yeah, because I forget how to play every time he speak. People know that we're talking about. Can we mention who we're talking about?
Yeah, we can mention who we're talking about.
Okay. I was going to say, I was about to, and I was like, no, that might not be allowed.
No, he totally spilled the beans on TCC like 4 episodes ago, so.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm dating Joe Duggan.
I was just going to say, we still haven't said, so it could be.
Yeah, no.
Great.
Official announcement, Jocelyn's dating Joel. Shocker. That was my sarcasm voice. Anyways, that's not really news.
No. Although I wouldn't be opposed. It's news. It's life news. I guess I should have said before news, like, what's new in Jocelyn's life? Then she could say that.
But it's not really that new. It's been a while now.
Yeah, I guess. But it's new to these people.
So you know what is news?
Please tell me.
We have more Oh, God, I can't even say it. We have more Wii U news.
Wii U. Sounds like a Pokemon saying its own name.
Wii U. There are so many things that Wii U sounds like. It just, yeah.
They can't change the name, you know?
I've heard they're going to change the name, but I don't know. Somebody on Twitter, I mentioned this to Ryan before the show, somebody on Twitter said that Wii U isn't fun to say. I'm like, yes, it is. There's like 100 different ways to say it, and every single one of them is funny. Every one of them.
But see, that's not the point of a name. I think the reason they're thinking of switching it is because they're really worried that, well, you know, the Wii is owned by a lot of people, including people who aren't used to games. And gaming in general, and how these consoles come out every once in a while, they see it as a DVD player, you know? Like, right. Oh, it's going to play stuff until they don't sell DVDs in stores anymore. So people think that it might be just an expansion or some kind of thing you plug into the Wii U or Wii to make it better. But I think the reason they're thinking of changing the name is because they want no confusion that this is a new console.
I see. Well, the news that we have today is that they have released that they are giving it NFC capability, which basically is like those little card readers that are allow information to be transferred, but over like really, really short distances, whereas like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth are like big, long ranges, whereas NFC is like short, little, within a couple centimeters kind of a range. So the quote from the Nintendo president says, "By installing this functionality, it will become possible to create cards and figurines that can electronically read and write data via non-contact NFC and to expand the new play format in the video game world. Adoption of this functionality will enable various other possibilities, such as using it as a means of making micropayments." Now, some people have said that this means you could potentially go to a store, like, say, a Best Buy or a Future Shop, and buy a prepaid card, and then just kind of, like, swipe it by your Wii U controller, and then that would add, like, money or points or whatever it is that Nintendo uses. It's points, right?
They've actually converted to real money now.
Oh, have they? Okay. Well, anyway, so you could add money to your Nintendo account, which is fine, except for I would rather, like, my Xbox, I just have my credit card number stored on my Xbox, and then I just go add more points. Done. I don't have to go to the store, buy a card, which is then something I'm just going to throw out or recycle if it's possible or whatever, but basically, like, I'm just going to get rid of this little piece of plastic, and I had to drive to the store to go pick up the little piece of plastic when I could have just entered my credit card information into my console. Like, it kind of seems ridiculous.
I think on that note, do you have, like, you mentioned your credit cards. Now, newer credit cards that come out have what's called the PayPass functionality, which is kind of the same thing, non-contact NFC or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't claim to be experts. This is just on secondhand knowledge. But theoretically, if you could do that with cards, there's nothing stopping you from doing that with your credit card, which means you could just tap your credit card and pay for the points on the device rather than storing it on your online account, therefore risking, you know, if your account got hacked, you'd lose your credit card. Or if Nintendo got hacked, you'd lose your credit card. Not that, you know, you're not that Nintendo's going to lose your credit card, but the other cool thing, the other cool thing is, you know, like, think of it this way, like, Pokemon cards or any sort of card game, you know, you have the, and again, this is kind of like the back in the Game Boy days, they had the Game Boy game was called Pokemon card trading game. It was really cool, and you basically had a virtual deck in the game. Now, could you imagine, and I don't do Pokemon cards anymore, just so everybody knows.
Sure.
I don't. It's expensive, and I have nobody to play with.
again, we come back to you having no friends.
No friends that'll play Pokemon. Like, think about it. I'm not
no
judging.
Friends to play Hero Academy with, and that's, like, super popular. So
I have plenty of friends.
Your argument is invalid.
MC Corporal Doom. Who we've been going back and forth. I think he's one of the hosts of TCC.
Yes, he is. He's Chad. He's
not, yes, thank you. Chad. I was just going to say, he's not that other dude.
Peyton.
Yes, Peyton. I don't think he's playing yet.
I don't think Peyton's playing either, unless he's one of the many random people who've added me in the last week.
Indeed. Anyways, it'd be really cool, like, to be able to, like, go out and buy a real-world product. And I know this exists with Skylanders, but I'm just using this as a different example. To be able to, like, flop a card down on the Wii U tablet and then have it, like, kind of show up on screen, it'd be kind of similar to have you ever heard of Eye of Judgment?
No.
Okay. It's this PlayStation 3 game that used the eye toy, and you had this mat, and I played this with my old roommates. They both bought it, so they both had a deck, and you had this mat, which was the play mat, and then you set the camera up in this weird, like, stand, and the camera's pointed at this mat, and you play by putting the cards on the mat, and then on the TV, the you see the mat, and then out of the cards, like comes out the monsters that are on the cards, and they do battle in real time.
Oh, cool.
It's like augmented reality, really cool. And it was, and we could only find, we couldn't find any booster packs or anything because at this point the game had done so poorly in sales that they had basically
Oh.
discontinued everything. But we had tons of fun playing that, and I think that would be really cool. Really cool.
Agreed.
But yeah, like the Wii U, we're only going to learn more as the months continue. I think it's going to be a steady roll towards E3, and we're just going to get these little tidbits because Nintendo is really trying to make sure we know that a new console is coming out because they are not doing so well in the home market.
And they're still talking like kind of late 2012 launch, right? Like they're looking for kind of fall towards Christmas, right?
I believe so. They said it would launch before the end of 2012, and it's looking more and more like it's going to be in the fall type area. Probably like November, if I had to guess.
Cool.
Which sucks, because that's far away.
Well, I'm totally not picking this up on launch.
Okay, well, what if they have. You don't know what type of. Okay. What game. What Nintendo
This is
franchise do you
Ryan in
think?
defense mode.
What Nintendo franchise do you think is going to launch with this thing? There's obviously going to be one. Which one do you think it'll be? Nintendo's not going to make the same mistake again that they did with the 3DS. They're going to launch
Well,
with a
it's not going to
major.
be a Zelda.
I would agree.
They just did a Zelda, so therefore I don't care.
So it's Zelda or bust for you.
Yes.
I would tend to agree, unless it's a Mario game. Mario or Zelda, and I'm in. But just quickly, I guess they did have that Zelda HD demo at the last E3, and they said continuously that this is a demo, this is a demo. But there are rumors that Retro might actually be working on an HD Zelda, so that might be cool. Very cool.
I'm making skeptical face.
I'm agreeing with Skeptical Face, and I raise you a Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning is released
Yay! Something we're
today.
actually excited about and is happening now.
It's happening right now. I have the Steam page open and I keep hovering over the buy button. You know what? It's kind of late to buy it now because by the time it downloads, I won't have time to play it. But this morning before work, I'm like, oh, I forgot that came out. And I was actually going to hit the buy button, but didn't. I really do want to buy it, but you know, I gave the demo a fair shake again, and I do kind of take back all I said, besides the character models kind of looking war it they look like it looks like it's a Warcraft cinematic, a very polished in-game World of Warcraft cinematic. And I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it yeah, just I don't know. I'm not a fan
Anyway,
of the way
so
they look. But anyways, I played the demo on PC and Xbox. Again, on the PC, it works really well with a controller. I did not try it with a mouse and keyboard. I'm thinking I am going to get it on the PC, but I
I
played
still
it.
haven't plugged my freaking controller into my PC. It's so
You should
bad.
try. It's
I know I
really.
should.
Now, you said you'll get it on the PC, right?
Is that what I came down to?
I don't know if you had decided, but I think you were aiming towards the PC.
I think so.
Because there's no multiplayer.
Right, and I think oh, it was going to depend on Mass Effect 3, and I haven't made that decision yet.
Well, I
That's
would
why.
assume you're not going to play through Mass Effect 2 again on the PC anytime soon, are you?
Well, I have Mass Effect, and I have Mass Effect, like, on the PC, I have Mass Effect. So I was thinking of just, like, blowing through that really quick to finish the story. Then I was thinking of buying Mass Effect 2 on the PC, because there's got to be some kind of sale right before Mass Effect 3 comes out, right? So I was thinking of buying it on the PC, blowing through a playthrough of, like, a renegade male shepherd, and then importing my renegade male shepherd into Mass Effect 3 and playing on the PC.
Mass Effect 2 is $20 on Steam.
Yeah,
That's
so
very doable, I think.
yeah, it's just if I have the time to actually play. But like when I say blow through, I mean like I'm gonna just say screw you storyline, like skip, 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 skip. Like I just need to, go as fast as I possibly can through the entire story. I'll put it on the easiest difficulty level, like just get me through. That being said, it's kind of crappy because, I mean, I do really like my Shepard character that I have on my Xbox. But, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I don't really want to play on the Xbox. I kind of want to play on the PC because I don't want super long loading times. And Mass Effect is not as bad as Skyrim, but they're still significant. So if I was on the PC, it'd be faster. So I haven't decided yet between the two.
Well, I played the Kingdoms of Amalur on Xbox 360, and I'm noticing, and I think it's my TV, because I'm noticing this weird blur effect, and it's very bright, and I think it's just my TV set. I'm not a big tweak person, you know, like that's the whole reason I never really got into PC gaming, because I'm not a big fan. Like, my solution to that was to buy a top-of-the-line PC and never have to tweak things, just put it all the way to high and be done with it.
Yep.
So with the TV, I've had it for 2 years, and I literally just left it in the first mode I had, and I played with it for 2 years just like that. But now I'm playing Kingdoms of Amalur, and I'm finding that whenever I move around in bright areas, it's really blurry. Like, it goes really, it's like motion blur, but extreme, and it really bothers my eyes. And I've never had that issue this bad with a game. I remember seeing a bit of it in Gears of War 3, but I got past that. And I'm thinking it might have something to, again, I'm not a TV expert or a tweak expert. But some people are saying it might have something to do with the 120-hertz refresh rate in the Xbox. I don't know. So rather than fool around with it, I've decided I'm just going to buy it on PC because I have this brand-new PC and I should really be using it.
Right. And like you said, there's crud. Oh, no multiplayer. I was like, I know you made a point that I wanted to bring up again as to why PC was good, but I totally just completely blanked. So, yeah, what I meant was no multiplayer.
There's no multiplayer, and there are equivalent achievements on Steam for Kingdoms of Amalur. I know that's like, why would you buy it for the achievements? But, like, achievements for me are an extra layer of fun. And if a game doesn't have achievements, I don't enjoy it as much as if there was. That seems weird, but
no, I totally get it.
I know you get it, but people who don't get it are like disgusted that I would say that. I had one of my old roommates, Matt.
I know you get it.
Yeah, I know you get it, but my old roommate Matt, he would always give me a hard time about achievements because he never could understand like why I enjoyed achievements so much. He's just like, it's just an extra like stupid number that you get when you do something stupid, like. He probably wasn't that negative, but it's just it was always something that we didn't see eye to eye on. Like, but those were my crazy achievement days. Now I'm a little better, but I don't know. There's something satisfying about unlocking something.
My poor Skyrim achievements. I didn't play this week. I feel so bad. I'll get there.
You didn't play at all.
No.
What did you play this week?
I played a little bit of Alice, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very, very busy and then very painful week, so I couldn't even hold the controller yesterday. I told Ryan this earlier on, but yeah, I had such pain in my shoulder, I couldn't even hold the controller yesterday, so I haven't done much gaming, guys, sorry. But, I did pick up Alice and played a little bit of that, so I got to the Mad Hatter, and I'm gonna say spoiler alert right now, guys. Spoiler, spoiler, stop listening, spoiler! He's in bits? What the hell?
You gotta get his bits.
I know, but you get to him and it's just his like head and he doesn't even really look like what I think that the Mad Hatter should look like. And I mean, I know that I now have Johnny Depp in my head and, you know, I love Johnny Depp, but still, you know, like that guy just looks so messed up and weird. He looked like one of the little, like, the guys with the forks and the spoons. And, like, the little evil guys, you know, that run around and try to kill you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he looked exactly like that. And I was just like, well, yeah, did you just get lazy? It looks like they just copied and pasted the head and just made it a little bit bigger. I was very disappointed.
The characters don't live up to the environments in that game.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, Alice is good. And, oh, as soon as I turned it on, I actually looked at Alice. And you're right, dude. Her shoes, her stockings, her dress is a different color. Like, all I noticed was the steampunk bow, but the entire outfit is different. I was just like, huh.
Yep. I just started Asia Town, or like Eastern Asia Town, Eastern flavor, Alice levels. They call it the East or something. I don't know. That's weird. But you got this like geisha type look. Is it geisha?
Yes.
Okay, good. It's like that is troubled water. Yeah, but it's a neat game, and I'm finding I'm kind of like I'm getting to that point. I remember this vividly from a Bombcast episode where they said like I'm just dragging myself through the content levels just so I can see the next area. It's like they keep you in an area like an hour longer than they should, and I'm
Yeah, and
starting to feel that.
I just the place that I got to is just after the Hatter, and you get to this kind of platform where you get the umbrella, and then you fight this, I think it's like menacing ruin or something like that. The thing with like the three baby heads that like throws missiles at you or something.
Oh.
Do you remember that? Anyways,
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Like I tried the umbrella thing and it just kept hitting me off the platform, and I tried hitting it and it just like with my knife, and it just keeps putting its arm up.
You need to deflect the things it shoots at you. So you need to push A as soon as the
Okay.
thing gets close to you, and it'll shoot the balls back at his arms, and he'll be like, "Ah, you hit me with my balls." Come on, Jocelyn.
I can't believe I didn't think of that. That should have been my first instinct. Throw balls at
Yeah.
it.
Not throw balls, deflect his balls when he throws his balls at you.
Yes, I tried that, but I couldn't. I guess I couldn't get the timing on the umbrella right or something. Because I mean, that's such a like old video game mechanic. Like I remember in the old Zeldas when you're fighting Ganon, you have to like use your sword to throw his magic back at him and stuff like that. Like I mean, I got that that's probably what I should do, but then I tried it and then I died and I was like, "Well, then maybe that's not what I'm supposed to do." But I guess I just got the timing wrong. But man, that thing's messed up looking. But yeah, so I tried that a few times and even on easy, I couldn't get it. So I knew I was doing something wrong and I wasn't getting the mechanic right. Not that like I wasn't doing it well enough. It's like I hadn't found it yet. So I tried that a couple times, couldn't figure it out, so I gave up.
One thing that game does horribly when it comes to combat is that it makes a point of introducing new enemies. Like it's like it goes, it shows the enemy like go, I'm the bad guy, and then it like pauses and shows the title of what it is, and you're like,
Yes.
okay, now I'm gonna figure out how to kill this thing, and then it just drops you in, and you're like,
Yeah.
oh, well, okay. And I mean, I'm not, I'm, I guess it's not horrible, 'cause let's face it, like. It's nice to be able to kind of problem solve your way through a thing. So rather than giving you the answer, they say, okay, now here you go, try to figure it out. And like Jocelyn experienced when she played, sometimes you don't figure it out. But some, yeah, well, I think that one, I thought they specifically told you to deflect them.
Shut up, okay?
You had a rough week. I shouldn't give you such a hard time.
Yeah, my head wasn't in it, so there's a finger right now involved in your general direction.
Jeez.
I will let the fans fill in the blank.
That's not good. She's wagging her finger at me.
Yeah.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
So you told me before the show that
I did.
you were playing some Star Wars and you got to a pretty significant place that I want to hear about. So cool.
Yes, I jumped into SWTOR. I finished my quests on Tatooine for my Sith and Sorcerer, yeah. Anyways, I finished Tatooine, and that kind of flew by. Tatooine is really quick. So, and then the next planet I go to is Alderaan.
So it has not exploded yet.
No, still there,
Do you think it's going to
unfortunately.
get exploded? Does it follow? Or no, wait, because this takes place way in the past, right?
Oh yeah, they'll be there for quite a while. I think it's like 3,000 years it exploded.
Well, that's...
Yeah, so it's an interesting planet, and I always like going to new planets, but I'm finding more and more in SWTOR that every new planet I go to, the excitement time, the time that I'm excited for diminishes. So, like, with Tatooine, I was pretty excited to get around and go, but the thing I find is that these newer planets, all the content is spread out. You know, like, they give... in, like, for instance, WoW. When you're given a mount... the size of the continent does not increase. You just get to where you're going faster.
Right, which makes sense.
Exactly. But in SWTOR, you get a mount, and then all the planets you go after that level, I'll go to after that level, just get bigger. So it's like you're walking, you know? You spend the same amount of time traveling.
That's dumb.
It's stupid. it's redonkulous. Like, why...
That's not a word.
It is now. Like, why? What's the point? For that matter, I'd rather just have the smaller continents with no speeders. That's stupid. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I find I get bored faster with these new planets as I go because I'm spending more time traveling than I am actually doing quests.
Right.
But that being said, Alderaan is neat. It's kind of like a fortressy slash forest level, I think. I'm not sure.
What kind of quests have you been on Alderaan?
It's actually interesting. I think the way the class quest starts is you are trying to help a family kind of take over the planet, and you get
kind of like a coup.
Like you're fighting rebellions, and you're like. You're like bitch slapping the main dude because he's a wimp and he can't really lead anybody. So you're like, you know, you better shape up. Shock, shock. You know, put people in line. Like, you call yourself a ruler? Like, I could do better with my Force Lightning. Totally rule this place. But I didn't play a lot. I just played.
Are you an evil character or a good character?
Oh yeah, I'm evil.
Oh, you're evil? Okay, I couldn't remember what you settled on, and you've made so many new characters that I can't keep track.
I made one new character.
Hey, compared to my zero characters at all, that's a lot of characters.
Yeah, Jocelyn was all talk when she said she was going to start playing Star Wars, and then she totally bailed on us.
I know.
Don't start. For the love of all that is holy, by the nine, don't start. Because you'll never play totally anything again.
I know. And my amount of gaming time is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I'm totally going to get it. It must be on sale now, right?
Wait until... See, I don't know. It's never going to go on sale, but... Hmm. Well, I shouldn't say that. It'll go on sale, but not for a while.
It's never going to go free to play.
Yeah, EA loves their money, so yeah. They'll wait as long as possible.
I don't think it's ever going to go free-to-play, but maybe it'll go on sale.
Maybe.
I'm worried about, because I have WoW, too, and I really want to start WoW, and I'm worried about getting into a situation where I have, like, $30 a month in fees that I have to pay to play. That's my subscription fees. That's what I'm worried about. That's all. It's not so much the actual games. I mean...
Pick one. I'd say pick one to start. That's my suggestion.
I already have WoW.
You do have
WoW? Maybe. I will install WoW and just play the first 20 levels of WoW. Because I could do that for free, right?
Yes, you can.
But it'll suck me in, I'm sure.
Well, 20 levels is a good amount of time. But look at it this way. Like, you get 30 days free when you activate your account, correct? Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Okay. I was like, I don't know. Because I've never needed an account.
The person upstairs is vacuuming.
I can hear it. Gimmerton, or something.
It gave me the hand. All right, we're back. We were interrupted by... Oh, my God, stop stomping. Jeez. The person upstairs is, like, vacuuming her floor with a beater bar vacuum. And I'm pretty sure she has hardwood floors, so it's just like, and it's just, oh my God, it's the most annoying thing ever.
Ryan much prefers using his beater bar on carpet.
Ah! I set you up, because when we were recording, Jocelyn said that, and she's just like, oh my god, that's so funny! And I'm like, not really. But I'll...
It's hilarious!
It's kind of funny, I suppose. Anyways, speaking of Ryan, Shank. I played Shank. Yeah, this is an older game. I picked it up... I have a huge Steam library, mostly filled with games I got through the Humble Bundle stuff. You know, I'm like, oh, that's a cool idea. I pay $10 for 5 games and never play them. Shank was one of them. It's this, like, really stylized side-scrolling beat-em-up game. Super, super cool. You have a knife, you have, like, this Shanks, and then you have a chainsaw and guns, and you, like, just kill these dudes as you run around. It's really hard to explain. When you explain it, it doesn't give it the... what it deserves. You kind of have to go out and look, but the reason I decided to finally give it a shot, seriously give it a shot, I've played it before, but as the second one came out today, actually.
Oh!
So, I have not, I've yet...
Shank 2, Return of the Shank?
It is called Shank 2. I'm pretty sure they did not use that subtitle, though.
They should have.
They should have.
All video game titles should go through me.
TM. Trademark. Now they can't use it.
Ha!
But yeah, I think I will play through the first one, and then I guess Shank 2 is very much improved. It's available on all major platforms, including PC, PS3, and the 360. So,
fantabulous. So I see here that it says that you played Spice Invaders, so I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, so this kind of gets into our talk of freemium games.
Is it actually called Spice Invaders? This isn't a typo?
No, it's called Spice Invaders.
Oh, I thought it was a typo. I'm making fun of you.
Oh, no, you weren't. You were contrary. Spice Invaders is a free-to-play game by Chilingo, a popular publisher on the Apple Store. App Store, rather, and it's a tower defense game, similar to Field Runners. Have you ever played Field Runners?
No.
Okay. Well, it's a path-based tower defense game, now that I have to explain it for the newbie here. You start off with one tower, which is the Gatling Gun Tower, and then you, by continuing through the levels... Rather than unlocking towers by progression, you unlock towers by spending spice you collect from completing levels. The game is free, a universal app, iOS. I believe it might be on Android as well, but you know we're both on iOS, so I always feel like I'm talking to you, and we're like, yeah, it's on iOS. Cool, high five.
You are talking to me. Who else would you be talking to?
People listen to the show.
Really?
Yeah. Shame on you guys. I'm just kidding. Come on back here. You get the noogie and then you go sit in the corner. What was I saying?
You were saying you collect spice.
Oh, yeah.
And it's on the iOS and maybe the Android, but neither one of us knows.
Sure. Anyways, Spice Invaders, by completing levels, you gain spice. And you use that spice to unlock towers. Unlock tower upgrades. There's 3 basic towers so far.
Is it spice? Like... Spice. Cinnamon?
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how that goes with Gatling gun.
It's like they treat it as like this stuff they... It's like... It's a pirate... You're alien space pirates, and the spice is sort of like they're a rum.
So there's aliens,
yep.
There's pirates,
no, the
there's
pirates
Gatling great. Guns, like, and spices.
You can decorate your alien with like eye patches and stuff. It's pretty neat.
Okay.
But it's like... It's like a super freemium game. Like, I was reading a review on it, and they said that like they encourage you to upgrade your towers, and you kind of have to, or else you won't be able to progress. But he said he got to a certain level, and he had to use spice to unlock the next set of levels, and the only way he'd be able to do that is by grinding old levels. So the way you get past that is to actually buy spice from the spice store.
Oh.
It's kind of like I'm trying to think of a freemium, like Farmville. You pay for resources so your crops grow faster.
Right.
So rather than grinding, you just pay for the resources to just skip all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like a super freemium game. And from what I played, it's enjoyable. I don't think it's not cool enough that I'd ever pay for the spice. But I thought it was pretty neat. I'm a big tower defense fan, and it's got a cool little multiplayer segment to it. After you beat a level, they unlock the multiplayer segment, and it's basically you. And it was really confusing at first because it's like it's still like a Field Runners type build a tower path kind of thing. There's two bases. One is yours and one is your enemy's. And your enemy's base spawns monsters that are trying to kill your base. And your base spawn monsters are trying to kill your enemy's base.
Right.
And you have to build a tower maze from your enemy's base to your base in order to kill the monsters.
Mm.
Now, the cool tactic is that you can build a tower maze to kill the monsters coming after your base. But you can also build a bunch of towers. Or there's a tactic where you build a bunch of towers around the enemy base so the enemy can't build emergency towers near his base for monsters that get through his maze. Does that
mm-hmm.
make sense?
Yes, it does.
It's really neat because that I kind of got screwed over by a couple people trying to do that. And I'm like, oh, my God, there's, like, this thingy trying to kill my thingy. Let me rethink that. There's this tank trying to shoot my spaceship. I can't kill it because I can't build enough towers near my space. That's much better. We'll use take two. That is really neat. It's a cool freemium game.
The game that we're both playing that is quote unquote freemium is that freaking Hero Academy. Wow, dude.
Played last week and I totally was like Jocelyn and her game that nobody's playing. I mean, what? I don't know.
And now,
I'm addicted.
Right?
Oh my God. Super addicted. I have like, my badge says there's 8 games waiting for me. Can we pause the recording so I can...
No, pausing because I haven't even looked at my phone. So no pausing.
Anyway,
I said no pausing.
I'm not pausing. That pause is just me waiting for you to start talking because you get so upset when I interrupt you. Am I right?
True.
Like, I'm right.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah, so Hero Academy, I still love. I have not made the purchase, unlike some people.
We won't mention
cheater.
Me until it's his turn to talk.
So I'm still playing the free version, which is the Council. The dwarves haven't come out yet, and apparently it's dwarves, so says TCC.
Where do you see this? I remember you mentioned when we were talking that like the dwarves were a sure thing and that they had kind of teased it.
Am
I just making that up?
Yes, you're just making stuff up. Moving on. No. There's in the buying where you go buy the teams, there's like a little blacked out profile pic of the next team to come out. And I thought it was supposed to come out this week, but it hasn't yet. So, or at least I haven't updated or something, maybe. But
no, it's not out yet. I think they're trying to do. They're trying to get the Android version pushed out because they're super close.
Oh, I see. Well, that makes sense. But yeah, so Hero Academy still. I'm enjoying it still, and it definitely pulls me away from everything else. But I'm getting a little bit frustrated with it because I find that almost everyone I play against now, with a couple of exceptions, has done the upgrade to
mm-hmm.
the Dark Elf. And I know you mentioned, like, you know, you just have to adjust your strategy to play against them kind of thing. But I find it so frustrating because I haven't played with them, so I don't understand their movements and stuff. And I know you can use a little question mark and you can see, you know, what they can do and how far they can move and all that kind of stuff. But I feel like there were a couple of games where, like, they have the super unit for the Dark Elves, and he does this, like, crazy insane attack that if it was, like, my Council team, I would have to use a turn to use, like, the power-up spell on my guy. Then I'd have to use a turn to actually cast the spell on an enemy, and then I'd have to use a turn to go and actually destroy the enemy. And the Dark Elf super unit does that in all three things in one turn. So the person I was playing against, it might have been you, Ryan, I can't remember, but I don't think so, did like one turn hit my archer with a super spell. Or sorry, no, it was my tank. Or my whatever you call him, dude with the sword.
Knight.
Knight, yeah. So hit my knight with the super spell thing. Hit my knight again with the super spell attack thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then absorbed all my knight's energy or whatever to make himself stronger. Then he still had three moves left. And then, like, moved three of his other characters around the board. And I was like, what the F? That was, like, 12, like, movement points of my, like, so, like, three turns of mine to do what he just did in one turn. I was like, that's really unfair.
I'm not exactly sure what you're describing, but that does sound OP. But I've lost games using the Dark Elves. And I've won games against Dark Elves with the Council. And I mean,
so have I. I've
yeah, I know. You're just both.
But it
you're
just
venting,
it was that
but...
one. Yeah, it was that one move that I was just like, seriously? Like, at least you should keep it pretty much on par. Like, I mean,
here's my suggestion, and I felt the same way, and that's the whole reason I bought the Dark Elves, because I was playing Sales Geek.
Yes.
I don't, what's
Dave.
Dave, thank you. I was playing Dave, and he uses the Dark Elves, and he was kind of showing off all the cool things that it could do, including, like, they have this really neat ability that you don't really need to heal them if the guy is going to do enough damage, because he just soaks it back up.
Mm-hmm.
With every hit, he gains life back. But I went and bought it, and I find by using them, you understand the tactics a lot better. And
mm-hmm.
I would, for me, you know, being a freemium game, I've never really done this before in purchasing, but I don't see it as freemium. I see it as, okay, sure, it removed the ads. So in that sense, it's sort of a premium purchase for freemium. But I was really happy to purchase the team because it expanded the content of the game. I'm not gonna change my colors for 99 cents.
Really? Because after our Alice conversation last week, that really surprises me.
Anyways, I'm not gonna change my color. I'm not gonna buy new avatars because it doesn't really expand on the content of the game. It's a
right.
cosmetic change, and I know your joke applies. I got that. Quite the zinger, Jocelyn.
I know.
But I don't. It's not the same. I wouldn't pay for new dresses. Like, for example, like DLC, like for Mass Effect 2, there's three packs, alternate costumes for your characters. I'm not going to download an alternate costume for my characters because it doesn't improve their stats. It's just literally a different look.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's where I stand on that, but I'm not gonna get upset with people who do that. Like Dave, I think Dave and Hakito, they have like orange, or Hakito's orange and Dave is like green or something. But I find you should really purchase the Dark Elves because I find doing random games, it mixes up the game a lot, and I'm actually really excited for the third team because I think the more teams they add, the harder it is for them to balance. And I think it's very well balanced, but in order to beat the Dark Elves, you kind of have to understand the Dark Elves, Jocelyn.
I don't want to go to the dark side, Ryan.
You should.
There's no coming back from that.
There's cookies.
Oh, there's a comic I wanted to mention. There's a comic that I posted, I think, on Google+, that I will put in the show notes, and it refers to Hero Academy and the Dark Elves, and it's actually hilarious. So everyone should go to the show notes and check out that comic, or my Google+ page if you haven't been there, because it was really funny.
It is funny. I think I read that before I bought it. I'm like, you know what? That's a good idea. But yeah, it was kind of a win button. In terms of playing you for the first time. Or wait, are we still running that game? No. I think one game where I kicked your butt is the Dark Elves.
Yes.
And then I felt pity and I switched back.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that you were counseled the next time, and I was like, man, I can totally kick your butt even with you being the Dark Elves, but...
Right. That's what they all say. What? No, they don't. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
I was waiting for the dwarves to come out because I was thinking that I would pick them up instead of the Dark Elves, but you might just break down and buy them. Gah.
You should. I follow Hero Academy on Twitter, and they said that the next major update for the game could be days to weeks ish. That was their saying. So I would assume that's their new team and. days to weeks-ish could be probably mid-February, I think. And it'll be interesting to see how long this game holds my attention, because iOS games don't do it for long.
That's true. I was thinking the same thing, which is also another reason why I've kind of held off from playing, because, I mean, like, last week, everyone was playing all the time. This week, I have you and Chad, who play me all the time. But everybody else, it's kind of, it seems like they have maybe once a day that they play, and they kind of update their games, make a turn or two. If I get back to them right away, they might make two moves, but generally one or two moves like in the evening, and then I don't hear from them again till that time the next day. So it seems like interest is kind of waning. So I don't want to make a purchase and then not have anyone to play against. And you can always play against randoms, but it's not quite as exciting.
Because no, you're
chirp,
right.
You can't chirp randoms the way you chirp people you actually know. So
we should start, speaking of Hero Academy, we should start a thread in our forums to kind of exchange usernames. Because I don't have a lot of people that I know.
That's true.
I only have you, Dave, the TCC hosts, two of which are playing. The other guy is not. Patton. Patton?
Peyton.
Peyton. Oh, I'm so sorry. He doesn't
Fail.
Listen to this.
They all said they were going to pick it up this week, so...
Uh-oh.
Yeah, you just failed.
Well, if you're listening, sorry. I got nothing clever to say. Shocker. Oh, okay. Well, I'm changing my end bit to make fun of you. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, Ryan does that.
No, I'm just joking. So you don't think you're going to buy the new team. Do the ads bother you? Do you find they get away?
No, the ads don't bother me at all.
Okay, they were killing me because I was. They weren't killing me.
Let me ask you, since you don't have any ads anymore, after you make your turn, then if I make my turn right away, do you see it update or do you have to go back out and then like refresh your games and then back in again?
If I wait long enough, it updates itself and it'll show me your move.
Oh, really? So you don't have to go back out into the game?
I think it
or
does.
Or back into the menu thingy.
We should try that. I would, you know what? The ads, the reason that I found they were getting annoying, I could easily skip them when I was at home on Wi-Fi, but if I was on 3G, I found the ads didn't load fast enough, so I couldn't skip them. And all the ads are shit.
Really?
Nothing in the ads is appealing. Like, okay, at least if you're watching friggin' TV or a movie, like, ads that come on are remotely interesting. Oh, I could see myself buying double-ply toilet paper from those cartoon bears. Maybe. Someday. When I make enough money to buy double-ply.
Two-ply.
Two-ply, thank you. See? I don't even know the fucking word! I don't know. All I know is that the cartoon bear has little bits of toilet paper on his ass. That's besides the point. All I'm saying is the ads in the game just aren't appealing. Like I feel the need to skip them right away, and the ads,
which I know, like what you were saying with it loads quickly on the Wi-Fi, but I can skip them even if the ad hasn't loaded. It's like skip this ad in 5 seconds and it counts down, and then you can just skip it even if the ad hasn't come up yet. Just click the little X.
Yeah, and the ads in the game list are even worse, because they're those like trick ads, like meet sexy singles, you have a message. Who clicks on that shit?
Well, obviously you, because you said they were tricky.
But I meant, all I'm saying is that, like, this just brings back to the point of, like, the whole iAds thing that has kind of failed. You don't really see it very often. But iAds were interesting because it was kind of like a premium ad system. Like, not any scam artist could create an ad for iAds. You kind of had real companies advertising stuff. But you don't see it because it's cheaper for these companies to put in place whatever this ad company. And I know people need to make their money. You know, ads aren't perfect. But I'm just saying, like, I was happy to pay the developer the extra $1.99 to remove those ads. And I don't know what kind of money they see for those ads, but I ain't clicking them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I don't know. Like, the ads don't bother me, but I'm much more likely in general to pay money for, like in more in-game content than I am just to make ads disappear. Like, the ads don't bother me. I would rather have free stuff with ads in it than, you know, pay just to get rid of them. So I know, like, I used to play a lot of Facebook games that I've kind of given up now, and not Farmville. Let's just get that right out of the way.
Mafia Wars.
No, not Mafia Wars, actually. Well, I tried all of them, but, I mean, obviously, they're crappy. But I used to play a game called Mouse Hunt, and that had it was, like, one of those, like, you do something every 15 minutes kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to the page every 15 minutes, and you can click the horn, and you hunt for a mouse, and when you catch the mouse, you get XP and you get gold, and then you can upgrade your traps, and then you can travel to different areas and all that kind of stuff. And the artwork in that one is actually really nice. Actually, both the games that I played on Facebook that I paid real money for have really nice artwork. So I played that game, and in that one, there were different kinds of cheeses that could attract different mice. Mm-hmm. And so I paid for the premium cheese. I don't even want to look at my account and know how much because, I mean, honestly, I played it for like 3 years and it was in the hundreds of dollars, I think I probably paid. Because you just, like, you buy it like $3 or $5 at a time. So you don't notice. I paid stupid amounts of money for that game. But it actually doesn't compare to what I paid for Pack Rat, which is my other Facebook game that I played. And it started off completely free. So I started playing it like a month after it was released, and the entire game was totally free. And then they went to this ticket system. And so basically what the game was is it was like a card collecting game. And so they'd have a different collection that would come out every week, and it had really pretty artwork. And it would be like you could put three of the cards together to make a higher up card, and you were trying to complete the collection. And then there were like they were called feats of wonder that you got for completing a collection. So all of your cards and all of your feats were numbered. So there was like that extra incentive to do it quickly. So then they came out with these tickets, and you had to buy the tickets to get the like first access to new cards. Or sometimes you could buy the retired collections because a given collection might only be out for 2 months and then they would quote unquote retire it, which meant you couldn't get the cards anymore. Or you could if you paid actual money. So they actually came out with a subscription model where you paid $10 a month and you got like 150 tickets a month and extra pack space and all that kind of stuff. And so I did the subscription for 2 years.
Whew.
So, yeah, I know. Trust me. Like, I've probably spent thousands of dollars on that game. And so now I've given it up now. But, man, it's addicting. Or it was addicting.
Sorry.
No, go ahead. Ask me a question.
I wasn't going to ask a question. I was going to talk about Facebook games, but I'll let you finish your story about Mouse Hunt or whatever. Whatever you're talking about.
Shut up, dude. It was awesome and fun.
Is it like that movie with Nathan Lane?
Oh.
Okay. That just makes me sound like an idiot. So, yep. Well, I was going to say, like, speaking of Facebook games, I didn't put any money into it, but it's kind of along the lines of what we were talking about with Mass Effect and their promotions, is that I'm coming back to that whole Ryan's a whore thing. I'm a whore when it comes to promotional free stuff, especially when it comes to, like, items in-game, so free DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when Dragon Age 2, before that came out, you could play this game on Facebook, Dragon Age Legacy or some stupid subtitle. And it was like a turn-based kind of battle game. And it was not like grid. Like, it was like a Final Fantasy turn-based thing. And you had to spend energy to do moves and, like, have mana potions and stuff. It was really neat. And I guess the if you got to a certain point, you unlocked real items in Dragon Age 2. It's kind of neat in the sense of freemium games being used as promotional tools for big games. So,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't put any money into it.
So have you ever put money into a game like I did on Facebook where it was like, regardless of the, like what it was you were buying, like it wasn't necessarily unlocking new levels or something, but just kind of like let you do more in the game faster or something like that. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, in the sense of, like, paying for resources.
Yeah, something like that.
Speed. to my knowledge, I don't think I've actually put money into something like that, but I have used. I'm not judging.
Didn't get suckered in. No, seriously, dude, judge away.
No,
cause
I don't
it was
judge
years
because
of my life.
Some people, that's all they play. Like, that's their game. And I don't see.
I paid for virtual cheese instead of buying actual cheese for groceries. Judge away.
all I'm saying is that I'm no game racist. Like, when it comes to games, all of them are games. There's no such thing as games that are how do they describe iOS games? Like, you know, like, oh, it's like a small game or, you know, those types of small games. Like, you know what I mean? Like, when some people compare Gears of War 3 to Infinity Blade, they see those as totally two separate things. But they are both games in my eyes. I will lead my people to a free world where all games are games. I've never done that. But like I said, the only time I've ever paid for something, and I kind of see it as an expansion, but was in Hero Academy when I paid for the Dark Elves and removed the ads. And I'm really glad I removed the ads because I think the game is really good and it deserves my money.
Well, and, you know, I agree, too. I think Hero Academy is great. And, you know, like, Joel and I have had this conversation before where he's talked about buying apps and I tell him to just do it because, you know, the app is like $1.99 or even $2.99. And I'm like, honestly, that's the price of your coffee. Like,
he's a Starbucks guy, right?
He's a Starbucks guy. So really and truly, that's the $1.99 is the price of my coffee in the morning because I'm a Tim Hortons girl. But he is a Starbucks guy, so he's got to be paying like $2.53 for his coffee. So come on, that's an app. So
make a pot of coffee in the morning, throw some whipped cream in it, and then just freaking suck it up, like drink it, and then buy a Tweetbot.
Come on,
buy like do what I do. Buy a little like French vanilla creamer, and you know, get some whipped cream and make your own little frappalapa latte, and you're good to go.
I don't think he's that kind of a Starbucks drink, although he did have some kind of a fancy latte thing when I went to visit. But yeah, so like we have this conversation all the time where it's like we're just like, well, you know, like, oh, $2.99, that's a lot to pay for an app, and God forbid it goes over $2.99. But, you know, like it just, but when you really think about it, you pay $60 for a console game. You pay, you know, like even on sale on Steam, like the huge Steam sales where I'm like, oh my God, I got this game for blah, blah, is usually the blah, blah is like $5, which is like double the price of this game that I'm playing all day, every day.
Speaking of like game prices, like game prices now have started to hit the whole, you have iOS games, which are seen as 99 cents to $7. $7 is kind of the max people see as acceptable.
Right.
And then you have portable games, $39.99, sometimes $49.99.
Which I think is way too expensive for a portable game, by the way. But anyways, continue.
Yeah, we can get into that in another
episode.
Yeah,
that's another discussion.
And then you have what you used to have was your $49.99 PC games and your $59.99 console games. And this is the reason I haven't pulled the trigger on Kingdoms of Amalur yet on Steam, because it's $60. It's not $50. And I, for one, am stuck in this bind where I know I want it on PC, but do I pay $60 plus the internet usage to download it, or do I pay $60 and go out and buy it and I get the case, some shitty manual, probably like black and white piece of crap, and you know, and the box art, I guess we'll say, because the box art is probably gonna look is nice. So what
but
do
honestly,
I do,
like I'm getting ready to move and I'm looking at all of my, like, I mean, my PC games, my console games, all my DVDs and everything else, and I'm just like, I wish I had all of this in digital form so I could just get rid of all of these boxes, because it's going to be a pain in the ass to haul them halfway across the country.
Yeah.
So I'm totally swinging more towards the downloadable stuff because I'm just like, I don't want to pack it.
Well, see, I'm half and half. Like, I like having a box copy because I like having that manual.
But do you ever look at it again?
That's not the problem. The problem isn't ever looking at it again. The problem lies in the fact that companies don't make manuals anymore.
Well,
they
yeah.
stick this little sheet, they stick the, they have their legal health and safety issues, a black and white cover, and the button layout. It's yeah. so lazy, you know, and I understand why they do it, because, you know, they spend so much time teaching you in the game that why would they spend money on a decent manual? And I can't remember the last time there was a manual that was actually good. Nintendo still does good manuals, but...
Even their stuff has totally dropped off. I would say it was GameCube games was the last time that they had solid, nice, worth-reading manuals.
Yeah, I guess based on that rant, I really don't have an excuse, and I should just pick it up on Steam, because...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just giving them a hard time for the sake of giving them a hard time. I know why they don't do it, and you're right. I am more inclined to lose a game when it's a hard copy than I am inclined to lose it when all I need to do is go, Steam, fetch me Kingdoms of Amalur. Right away, sir, and then it starts downloading.
True. But,
in the future, it's going to be all voice activated,
which it totally should be.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be able to download voices like you can for your GPS unit.
Exactly.
So you could have a British butler who would go and get you your games.
Exactly. I want
we
the Nathan
totally
Philly
trademark that idea right now.
Okay.
Trademarked.
TM.
So speaking of trademarks.
Oh yes.
We are going to go back to our two-minute game design challenge this week. So I need to get my timer over here. Hang on. Sorry about this. So just as a quick refresher, this is the return of the two-minute game design challenge. I can't remember when the first one was. Episode 5, I want to say?
It was a while ago.
Yeah, so what I'm going to do is give Ryan three pillars to base a game design off of, and he has to come up with a game design in 2 minutes, and I am actually going to time him, and it's not going to be allowed to go over 2 minutes. So these pillars are going to be platform type, genre, and player type. So, Ryan, are you ready?
Yes, and please start the timer after I'm given my pillars.
I'm please. Going to. That's what
okay.
I did last time,
oh.
too.
I'm just making sure. Because last time it was like, man, that went quick.
Well, it is quick. It's 2 minutes.
2 minutes
or it's quick if you let me start.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so your platform is PC. Your genre is RTS or real-time strategy.
Mm.
And the number of players is 2. Ready? Your time starts now.
Okay, so it's on... You said PC, right? PC, RTS. Being a two-player game, you're going to have one person that controls from the ground level. Now, from the ground level, you're controlling single units. Now, the guy up top, otherwise known as the monitor, is the person who is... And this is a co-op game played... another co-op game played on the PC on separate computers, so they both use the keyboard. One the person on the ground might want to use the actual Xbox controller. It might be easier to control specific units. But basically what happens is the monitor sets up the base, builds the bases, queues up units, stuff like that, and the monitor can make suggestions to the controller to control specific units, like say, okay, monitor says to controller, you need to use Commando A, because he is leading a band of nuke bandits into the enemy base. So basically, it's like a sci-fi fantasy RTS where the monitor guy sets up the bases, manages all the high-level stuff, and then the guy with the controller is down on the ground controlling specific units. It's kind of a mixture between Supreme Commander from the high up view and Toy Soldiers from the down below view. And it's a co-op game. You're supposed to play cooperatively. The objective is to take out the enemy base, as is all RTS objectives. Am I right? Am I right? Yeah. And I just the last thing here, you're able to switch on the fly. Like you can kind of tag in and out, but you have to make a specific high five motion towards the Kinect for Windows. It's the only way you can tag out. If you don't have Kinect for Windows, you can still play, but you just can't tag out. You gotta choose from the
2 minutes. Fantastic.
I defaulted back to co-op. I know two player could probably have been one on one, but I just I like the idea of co-op.
Sorry.
What?
Nothing.
No, what?
My mind went to a dirty place.
Oh, you're roboting.
Oh, am I?
Yeah, really bad. Are you downloading Kingdoms of Amalur?
No.
I bet you are. Wait.
Am I still roboting?
Yeah, I'm gonna try pausing you. One sec. Alright, talk.
Am I back?
You're back! You're good. No more robot.
Excellent. So, let's move on to email. We are doing a continuation of Valerie's email from last week. So this is the Skyrim rant that we accidentally alluded to last week. So here we go. Part deux. I just want to say that it's refreshing to hear a girl comment on games. That's me. She's talking about me. That part's not in the email. This is Jocelyn adding more to the email. I always thought I was one of the rare female gamers out there. I don't play video games as much as I used to, and I know that more and more women are playing video games and talking about them, but the other video game-related podcasts that I listen to are all hosted by guys. So it's nice that one of them has a female perspective of what the gaming world is like. And then in brackets, by the way, Jocelyn, I totally wanted to marry Brynjolf in Skyrim 2. I got pissed when I discovered you couldn't marry him. Now every time I walk by him, he's like, sorry, lass, we'll have to talk more later. And I'm like, damn it, dude, I totally wanted to freaking marry you, which is my exact response. So anyways, I wanted to ask through Jocelyn in Skyrim, do you do all the different guild quests as the same character? I started with one character and thought I was going to play the game through with it once and start over, but I ended up joining the companions and I got bored with that character because she always got beaten up, so I switched to a stealthy character and joined the Thieves Guild. Since I already did the companions quest, I had no desire to have my thief character join the companions, but I'm not sure I want to make her join the Assassin's Guild either. I wanted to try and play a mage character, so I started a new one and went to do the mage and want to do the mage quest now. So bottom line, I have three characters, all chicks, just like you, and I haven't beaten any of the main storyline with them. And I have one other thing to say. I think Skyrim is a little overrated. It was my first time playing an Elder Scrolls title, sorry, game. I had never heard of the franchise before. I saw it being mentioned on TV and thought it looked cool since I like medieval stuff. I just think that the game reviewers have been handing out the quote-unquote Game of the Year title to this game, and quite frankly, it pisses me off. Mm. While I'm enjoying the game, and I know that no game is perfect, I find that some of the bugs of this game are just unforgivable, and because of them, it should not receive the title of Game of the Year. Among the bugs that I hate... One, I was never able to cure myself from the werewolf curse. I hate biting people's faces off. Two, I did all the damn quests to become Thane of Markoth in order to buy a house and get the male housecarl, and I can't buy the freaking house anymore. That's a bug. Three, I saw the mammoth that went flying in the sky for no apparent reason. Four, when I sometimes try to access the items I faved playing on Xbox, for some reason, I try to scroll up and down and it just stays frozen in the same location. And most of the time, that happens in battle, so I just have to run like a chicken with my head cut off in order to not get hacked to death. Those are just some of the things I dislike about the game. Again, I'm not saying it's bad because I keep playing it after all, but I just find that it should not be getting the praise it's receiving. One thing's for sure, I have to finish it before March 6th because that's when Mass Effect 3 comes out! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark! And I am totally stoked for that. I have not been excited about a game like that in a long time. I hope you guys decide to do a podcast on that franchise. It would be awesome. So that's the end of Valerie's rant. So there's a couple of key points in here. First, I want to mention that her point about not a lot of video game podcasters have girls on them. It's true. There's not a huge female voice in the podcasting community on video games, but there are a couple podcasts that you should check out. The first being The Final Score, which is a Frogpants Studio production with Scott Johnson, Brian Dunaway, and Nicole Spagg, who is awesome. She also does her own podcast, which is video game related, called Ladies of Leet, and that's her, Kim, and Stephanie. And I did a guest spot on episode 42. So they do, it's, they're all women and they're all gamers, and they do it, I believe, every other week. So both of those titles are ones that you should check out if you're looking for other podcasts about gaming that involve a female voice. So I hope that helps you out with that.
You could also check out Game On. I listened to one episode, the first one. I should probably listen
to Veronica's show, right?
Yeah, it was all right. I think I listened to it on audio, and I think I need to watch the video because I feel like it's not living up to the hype in the audio version. I think it would be better with the video. So right. I would suggest that one. And another one I just listened to today, it's a little less serious and kind of a jokey, you know, friends having fun, but it's an IGN podcast called Nintendo Voice Chat. And there's one woman who's like this super, I think she's a bigger Zelda fan than you are, Jocelyn. and she brings an interesting take to the podcast table, and that's called Nintendo Voice Chat. And I think she hosted the most recent episode. It was a train wreck, but it was a hilarious train wreck. Like, it's good fun. I would suggest that one as well.
Awesome. So yeah, as in terms of the Skyrim thing about playing different characters, until I read your email, that didn't even occur to me. I was just like, I want to level up my one character and play all the storylines and everything else. And it would have been so much easier to play it and get all the achievements if I hadn't done the Dark Brotherhood Assassin's Guild quests. Because now, no one will talk to me. There's a whole bunch of quests that are unavailable to me because I was an assassin. And I did it before the Mage Guild quests. And before a whole bunch of sideways quests, which are the side quests that you have to do that are kind of for the random citizens and don't belong to a quest line, but are more major than the miscellaneous quests. So anyways, I wish I had read this email like 2 months ago. Because, yeah, I just have my one character, and I've been trying to beat everything. And I think I might have to start new characters to get some of the achievements, because it's just, it's a mess. It's an absolute mess now since I've tried to do it all with one. What about you, Ryan? I know you're the king of alt characters.
I only made one character.
Were you planning on making multiple characters to do your different quests, or?
Not really. I think, well, I mean, okay. In terms of experience, different content, maybe. But considering I've barely made it through one character, I don't know if I'll go back. Now, that being said, I think if I were to go back, I would want to experience the game. I want to try Sword and Shield gameplay, because I always move away from that, and I think that's one thing I'd like to go back and give a shot at.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the one thing that we have mentioned, I think, before about Skyrim is that you don't necessarily, like, previous Elder Scrolls titles, you would have to start a new character if you wanted to go from, say, archery to being a mage, or if you wanted to go from being a mage to being a sword wielder type person. But you don't really have to do that in this, because you can still level up your character, and you can, because you can choose your blessings differently, you can level up your skills a whole lot faster than you used to be able to. So I think it's possible. Whether you should or not, it remains to be seen. But I think that it is possible to switch your focus halfway through the same character. But, I mean, you do that out of love for your character, really, more than practicality, I think. But anyways. So, yeah, in terms of the Game of the Year title, I don't know if she's listened all the way back to when we did our Game of the Year episode, but Skyrim was not my Game of the Year. It was Ryan's Game of the Year, but I chose Portal 2. And yeah, I agree. It had some problems. It's a very limited audience, I think. I love it, and I play it all the time, but Ryan, I mean, you played it like mad for the first 3 weeks and gave it up, so
I have a very weird attention span when it comes to games.
So yeah, I mean, it is great, and, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of work that went into it, and I'm definitely getting my money's worth out of it. I mean, 300 hours of gameplay, I think I'm at 150, so, you know, that kind of gameplay, yeah, it's an awesome game, but I don't necessarily think it deserves the Game of the Year title. I think that it kind of came out and there was a lot of hype and a lot of gaming people did love it. And so it got the Game of the Year thing, but I think it was a hype thing and the timing. It's really easy to name something Game of the Year if it comes out a month before you name your Game of the Year, because you're still super excited about it. Whereas, you know, it's a lot harder to get excited about a title that you played 8 months before. So,
yeah, and on that note, someone mentioned something interesting. I think I was listening to Rebel FM, and they mentioned something called like a game journal. And because we're doing the podcast, it's a little more applicable now. I'm keeping track of all the games I play throughout the year and actually taking a few notes for each one. And I'm going to update that document throughout the year. So this way, when our Game of the Year episode comes up next year, I'll have notes on all the games I played so I can actually remember, I played, you know, trying to think of a specific, I played Hero Academy from January till April, and it was pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah.
You can remember that for next year.
Right.
It's kind of tough to have an example because there really hasn't been a game that's come out yet. Maybe Kingdoms of Amalur. Like, that'll be a hard one to remember come November when we're playing, who knows, the future.
Right.
Halo 4.
Halo 4, yeah. that's a good idea to keep some kind of a journal and maybe have, like, an excitement rating or something.
Dear Journal, today I played Hero Academy for 5 hours. Jocelyn kicked my ass.
As per usual.
I'm buying the dwarf class.
So that I can start kicking her dark elves' asses again. So yeah, the final point that she made in the email was talking about the Mass Effect franchise. And we are going to do an episode, so I'm going to take this chance to plug it. We're going to be recording it, I believe, February 22nd, which is the week after Valentine's Day. So if you want to get your comments in about that episode, if you want to tell us some stories about when you played Mass Effect 1 or 2, or talk about what you're excited about in Mass Effect 3, send in your feedback. We will read it all on the show. And yeah, so you can send that to info@gamersinpodcast.com. Or you can post it in the comments section of our website if you want, and that's www.gamersinpodcast.com. Also, I will, I guess, take this time to tell you to follow us on Twitter. And you can find me at GISGamer, Ryan is at RMurphy, and you can follow the show at The Gamers Inn. We are also on Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we're also on Google+, and you can find us by just searching for The Gamers Inn. Anything you want to add to that, Ryan, before we move on?
I was just going to say, our forums on VTW Productions will have a Mass Effect thread. Thank you. I'm thinking of lingo. Mass Effect thread for people to kind of share ideas. And we're not only looking for your experiences, but we want you to do our jobs and kind of suggest what we should talk about. So, you know, just to make the show more interesting for you guys.
And not even just interesting, but to kind of streamline it a bit, because as we've seen every single time Ryan and I start talking about Mass Effect, we get so into the weeds, we can go off on tangents, like there's so much to talk about. We both love the franchise so much. So if there's stuff that you guys want to specifically hear us talk about, then it's probably good to let us know. Otherwise, it's going to be really, really long, and it's going to be really detailed, and we might not necessarily get a chance to talk about what you want to hear about. So if you let us know, we can narrow it down.
That being said, we are going to try to have some sort of linear structure for discussing it. Like, we're not just going to wing it. Okay, Mass Effect, let's go.
I know, dude, but it's going to be tangent filled and you know
it. Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I'm not defending that.
I'm going to have my fancy schmancy iPhone timer keeping us on track.
Yeah, maybe. We should probably do that for the show in general.
We probably should.
This will be our longest episode yet, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, man.
We're
all right, then.
Yeah.
You might have to do some editing.
Oh, no. People have yet to complain about our length, so.
All right, then. Well, I'm going to...
Nothing. Move on.
So before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at Sounds Influence. We would also like to thank the fabulous Jill Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars. And you can find him on Twitter at Jill Duggan, or you can read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com, and he posts a new comic every Monday, so check him out. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to tune in next week.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, all this talking, Jocelyn, has got me to thinking, which doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, you know, freemium games are a whole lot like real life. You know, I pay extra money to have HBO for ad-free TV. I pay extra money to get my hair dyed orange when I get my hair cut. You know, hell, I even pay a little extra from time to time to have Dark Elves sap the life out of local council members. I mean, premium content is the cherry on top of the shit cake that is life, you know, when it really comes down to it. Good night. Good night. For some reason, censorship is sometimes funny.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to be like, oh, f*** this, f*** that. Well, you know, I f***ing hated this f***ing game because, honestly, f***.
I went to, I was going to type forums.vtwproductions, and I got forums.weddingbell.ca. Who the hell?
Oh, your girlfriend's so busted.
What the hell is this? I've never been to this website before.
I'm going to start now. Can you be quiet? Can you?
I'm being quiet.
Okay.
Go.
You're just... You're just afraid of what I went to.
Jocelyn, you do this every time.
How does it feel, bitch?